The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's now time for News Headlines with Molly on a Big Party Show on Channel 94.1.
Good morning. This weather alert update is brought to you by Exarban ARS Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. We're looking at a chance of maybe some morning rain, but then sunshine later today. A high of 86 in the forecast tomorrow. Sunshine and a high of 93 expected for Friday. Right now, 63 degrees. Stay connected with the 3 News Now Weather Alert Team, the team, technology, and experience to keep you safe and informed. At 6:04, here are your news headlines. Well, Transportation Security Administration, the TSA, officials there are considering no more passenger screenings at more than 150 small to medium-sized U.S. airports.
Wow.
Well, they are saying that the move would cut down on about $115 million annually that they spend where at these airports where planes have 60 or fewer seats.
All right.
That money could be used to improve security at larger airports. Now, obviously, some are alarmed at the idea that this would make smaller to medium-sized airports where there isn't a screening more of a target for people that had nefarious purposes.
Yeah, I think we've all been to those small airports where it almost seems worthless.
Yeah,
to do it.
The group studying the proposal said it would impact about 10,000 passengers a day. So these are like those really small regional airports, and that represents about a 0.5% of the total number of people that fly in the United States any given day. Douglas County judge was found dead in his chambers. District Judge Mark Ashford. He was 66 years old.
That's sad.
I know. Unbelievable. He had been spending lunch talking about how he was getting ready to retire. He was going to go with his adult son, Sam, next week to do this golfing thing down in St. Louis. He'd just gotten the lottery tickets for the Masters next year.
I mean, man, this is a bad, sad
story. Hopefully
he
went peaceful. Like, hopefully, you know, and it's like he went into the next world thinking about
all of that
retirement.
Stuff.
And maybe that's what death is this endless.
Yeah.
All your retirement plans.
But the
lottery ticket wins.
I know.
The weather's always great on the golf.
66.
66. Oh, wow.
His brother is former Nebraska Congressman Brad Ashford.
Okay.
Yeah, you can see it in his face. You can see the resemblance.
The resemblance. Wells Fargo won't admit any liability, but it's agreeing to pay nearly $2.1 billion in fines. The Justice Department announced the agreement yesterday. They claimed that the bank knew income information was incorrect on residential mortgage loans that originated and then later sold. So the government says that this was one of the factors in the financial crisis when all these loans defaulted. Wells Fargo paid $1 billion fine back in April to federal regulators for problems with mortgage and auto loans. The fires in California continue. 17 wildfires are currently burning there in that state.
Yeah.
The deadly car fire in Northern California has burned more than 113,000 acres, destroying nearly 1,000 homes. Police say that they are still looking for 4 people who are missing. And then there are other fires that are burning that have caused, you know, the close of Yosemite Sam.
That's okay.
Yosemite Sam
Park.
Yosemite National Park.
I want to go to that park. I've never been. It seems like it's either always burning or stuff's falling off.
Yeah.
Like the slabs are falling off.
I know. That's something you have to go to. The last time I was even close to that area, they had just had a giant fire there. So I didn't go into it. Yeah, so, I mean, it burns everything down. But, you know, I just kind of look at it as nature. I mean, granted, maybe humans have something to do with it, but fires did exist.
I want to crawl up El Capitan.
Ooh.
You know, that's the one everybody keeps, but it keeps falling apart.
It's going to fall apart one day and just be gone.
There was recently a story, weren't they saying in some of these national parks that they were going to start making things like you can't touch or go on
not
them?
Not supposed to anyway. And there's things in these parks that... Or
yeah,
the
can
reason
they sustain,
why they're there.
Can they sustain the constant you know, flood of people?
Like the arches, for example. I went out there in Moab and we had to sit through this class probably about 20, 30 minutes or something like that. And then as we're leaving, it just tells you what not to do, what not to step on, things like that. Because there's this ground foliage on the ground out there in the desert that keeps everything in place. Well, it's been there for hundreds of years. And if it's just touched by the human, stepped on, it dies. It all dies off. And that's what they're worried about because everybody's straying off of the paths and everything like that. And the guy said to me, and he goes, you guys, for all I know, could be the last people to ever walk through this thing because eventually they're going to have to shut it down because you just, tourism is just running stuff.
The hippie, hippie, like, hey, man, love nature. But you do look at the outdoors a little bit different after you go scuba diving because when you're... Because if you think about it, what's under the ocean is probably no different. The foliage is no different than what's above the ocean.
Absolutely.
And when we go scuba diving, they bang it into your head. Don't touch anything. Like, it's all really beautiful, but they tell you if you touch any of this stuff, you have an ability to damage it or kill it.
Yeah.
Just with your human touch.
God,
and so as you're swimming under the sea and going over this kelp and foliage that you wouldn't touch, I imagine, I'm like, well, I'm on land. I'm just running through a forest. You know what I mean? I mean, knocking down trees, tree bashing.
Yeah.
And I had always thought, I'm like, geez, someday will that be a thing of like,
oh boy,
don't, you know, be don't careful on the grasses
anything.
Or stay on the path. Will it be a deal of stay on the path?
It is pretty amazing though. You can go underwater like that and disrupt a whole, I mean, area just by being stupid and selfish and touching. But the thing is that when you, are told not to do something, it does kind of make you want to do it a little bit, but you know better. you know better.
You're like, oh, so this would be bad, so I shouldn't, but it's just the side
of the
call.
There's like tourists that take things, remember?
Yeah.
People used to, the classic deal was people, I think people have, we've evolved.
I would hope so.
That we genuinely care. We're doing it because we get it. We're not just like you said, being told to do. People used to be a lot worse. Remember, people used to take things.
Yes.
That used to be a trend. You had to walk away with some of it in your pocket, whether you went to the pyramids.
As a memory.
Or Stonehenge.
Take
you know
it.
What I mean? People take a chunk of the rock.
Isn't that crazy?
And they were like, dude, when everyone does that, think of the, you know, anyway.
There's nothing left.
Well, also out in California, you know, Death Valley.
Yeah.
Right there, part of the Moab.
Smoking cigars again, Molly.
Man. I think that would be sweet if she did the news with a cigar in her mouth.
A cigar, just like old school.
Or with a cigarette like Edward R. Murrow. You know, whatever. The seriousness. It's more serious when you take a pull.
Gone in the days. Gone in the days.
Well.
So Death Valley National Park, they are setting a record for the world's hottest month.
It's Death Valley.
Yeah, the monthly average was 108 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the monthly average. The daily high was about 127 degrees Fahrenheit 4 days in a row back in July.
There must be a reason they call it Death Valley.
Yeah.
Isn't it always one of the hottest?
Yeah, it's one of the hottest. It's one of those places that when you go there, if you plan on hiking, you got to make sure you have gallons of water with you because, man, you do
so
not
So the average is what, 108? What is it?
Yes.
What's the high been?
Jeez.
Well, they're talking about it's been times that it's been like 127 degrees.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it depends. And then at night, it goes down to like below 85, cools off.
The record is 129, which happened in June of 2013. 129.
I can't even imagine.
So this is up a whole degree from like how hot it was last month. So Death Valley is topping even itself. The Democratic Republic of Congo declaring another Ebola outbreak.
This is
the latest outbreak in the northeastern part of the country, just days after 30 people died of an epidemic in the northwest Congo. So the World Health Organization, sending experts in vaccines, but I wonder if they're firing up the special chambers at UNMC where they take care of all of that because this could mean that we get some
of
those visitors.
Mm-hmm. The best facility. We have the biocontainment lab right over there at UNMC. I'm sure they got their beekeeper suits on.
Yes.
Right. Getting
Chewing
ready.
Up Don't Fear the Reaper.
I still think it'd be a great bit is when they have those people here to help them that, you know, someone walks to the local restaurant.
So
there,
time, you go to...
Oh, no.
Go get the bad, cheap Halloween costume of where you're in the hospital gown.
Right.
That would be
just
awesome.
Make your face kind of pale. Run over to that Broncos, which is right down the street from UNMC,
Perfect.
Right when it's in the middle. It's all over the news that there's somebody with Ebola. Run up right at noon against that glass and bang on it and then cough fake blood all over the glass. bloody handprints and then just keep running.
That would be awesome.
It's like, no one thinks this is funny.
Go up to the glass and be like, it's out. It got out. Help me.
Start of the Stand by Stephen King. Don't fear the Reaper. Owl Ride is back. It was off last year. But the nighttime bike ride is this Saturday. Fundraiser to help improve the lives of adults with developmental disabilities. They're expecting about 1,000 riders to take off from Lewis and Clark Landing Saturday, starting at 9 o'clock. There's a shorter course and a longer course, depending on how, you know, adventurous you feel. So there's the 7.5-mile course or 17-mile
trek. Is there like a website people can go to or anything?
Yep. Owlride.org.
Okay, right.
It's pretty cool, though.
Grab your bike in the day and ride over to the Taco Fest.
Ooh, Taco
Fest. We're going to be right across the river. We're going to be doing our little Taco Fest. Should be...
He'll be good.
It's bike season.
Yeah, it's neat to see him ride through. I've been in Dundee before when they come through, and it's just a mob of, like, glow stick rally party bikes. It's pretty cool. Molson Coors Brewing is teaming up with a Canadian cannabis company to brew new beverages infused with marijuana. Won't contain alcohol, but will contain the magic weed. The brewer's Canadian unit's going to work in that country to make these non-alcoholic drinks.
So it's not even beer. It's just weed fluid.
Exactly.
Weed beer.
Alcohol sales, I guess, have slumped in states with legalized marijuana. So Molson Coors has been seeing their sales get dinged. And so they're trying to get out ahead of it. It's the latest sign that the beer makers and alcohol brands are pushing into the cannabis industry. So
it's like, dude, beer people, stay in your lane.
Yeah. I mean,
this is what we always said, though, that they before it gets legal, they have to Budweiser it. That's what you always wonder was standing in the way. Budweiser wants to package it so that you know, you go buy your six of Bud, but it'll be...
You can put
weed in everything, believe me. I know some of the people who pretty much all they do is put weed in
everything.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's
I was just on a camp trip, and you have to ask people, can I eat this? Can I drink this? I'm not lying.
No, he's not.
Wow. They had something they deemed it dope meat because there were like burger patties that had weed in them.
Oh, you're kidding. You really can do it with anything.
I don't know if you ate any of the burgers.
I didn't eat any of the burgers.
There was dope meat. You have to identify because we've got some...
There's a world we live in.
Amazing. I've got some friends that it's like, you guys are actually pretty good cooks.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, you could taste the stuff that they made. Now these things are like the best muffins you've ever had.
Those guys,
be careful though, they're magic. You guys should be selling these. These are amazing.
I know, they should be doing some type of a food truck in Colorado.
Friends that are like stoner Betty Crockers on the side.
It's amazing.
But anyway, what I've learned
is they can put it in anything. Yeah, they put the oils, they put it in butter.
All of it.
Once they get the weed butter, they can cook anything.
And then you bake with it, right? Like that's the whole idea is that you get that weed-infused butter and then you're off to the races.
Nobody smokes it anymore. It's all just infused into what they consume.
That's interesting. So cannabis, it's going to be legalized in Canada October 17th. That's like the entire country of Canada, by the way. And though cannabis-infused edibles and beverages won't be immediately available, Molson Coors wants to get in on that by 2019.
That's what that industry has learned, is that one of the stigmas was smoking. Any drug that you smoke...
You smell it.
They feel like they're doing drugs.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're smoking it. But once you
eat a
burger, change the delivery system.
Eat a piece of cake and suddenly feel
it doesn't matter. People are like, "Oh, it's not doing a drug anymore." So,
yeah,
I don't know if people would want to drink it. It's got to taste good.
I don't want to drink it.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll make it taste like, you know how malt beverages don't taste like alcohol; they taste like lemonade or something like that. I would imagine that if it's a non-alcoholic,
it already tastes like beer. I thought that there had to be weed beer all over the place.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure this is just one of those stories coming out. I'll bet there is.
I think it's just because
Colorado,
it's a major brewer
absolutely.
That's doing you know, it. So, you know, people that brew.
You want some, Molly?
I think she does.
I know.
I didn't realize that
Molson and Coors were the same company, but there's like only a few beer companies anymore.
They have all been taken. They've all been worked together. That is your celebrity news. I mean, that's your news update on Omaha's number one hit music station, Channel 94.1.
This is the Big Party Morning Show, Channel 94.1.
All right, welcome to the show.
I came across this article that broke down these like scientists or economists taught this computer how to guess a person's income, like their race, like all their education level, gender, all based on like media habits and different things, like stuff you bought, stuff you had, things that you liked.
If it had access to your online profile, it can nail you.
Right.
Does that surprise anyone? I don't think so.
I thought it was just interesting. Like they were talking about TV. They say the top 10 predictors that somebody is white is the fact that they watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, American Pickers, The Big Bang Theory, and the Kentucky Derby. Like those were like, if you watch those, most likely you are Caucasian. And things like
that. So the computer's racist.
Sounds like
no, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. Like they broke it all down. Like apparently the biggest way to like indicate whether or not somebody is a certain income level is whether or not you have an iPhone. iPhones apparently can be a big predictor of somebody's income. People with iPhones tend to be a little bit better off.
But what about now? What do you have? I mean, is that just the iPhone then, or
no? I have a Samsung.
Yeah, you have a Samsung. What do they say about Samsung? Do they even
that
say
she's poor?
Oh, really?
Yeah, higher income families tend to have Apple products.
Okay, all right.
And that was sort of the deal: is that if you've got an iPhone, most likely you are a person of a certain economic class. But it was interesting just to see how they broke it all down, whether or not like you own a pet or not. That's another indicator. It was interesting. It's like, well, like if you were to own a pet, most likely you're white, which I was like, this is so fascinating.
Stupid,
like it was just like
racist computer.
God. No,
just throwing
it was just
darts
really
at board. You have a pet.
You're a white.
What up, white cracker?
Well, and also, like, excuse what was me? Weird is Grey Poupon mustard predicted income better than any other brand. If you've got Grey Poupon in your house, like, most likely.
Who the heck has
so it's
Grey
been watching,
Poupon?
Like, it's been watching 80s TV commercials.
Exactly.
I think so.
Hello, Grey Poupon.
But
I saw that once. That must
Apple
be a nice.
It said, interestingly like enough, though, the Apple iPhone was what was a clearer signifier of income than anything else. Like if somebody said they had an Apple iPhone, then most likely you were doing okay income wise.
Okay.
But it was just interesting. They broke it all down, like whether it's income or race or politics. They're saying you don't have to answer questions about your politics or your race or you know, like your religion or your social standings. You can put all of these, you can answer a questionnaire about what kind of mustard you use and like what kind of TV habits you have and what sort of things you like to buy. And they're able to hone in on exactly what you are.
Now, do you keep saying you find it interesting? Is it because you have some of those things or something? Or do you feel like you should
be white? No, I just find
white?
That kind of like human interest. I find stuff like that really, the idea that a computer can get all of this information and from all that, not having seen anything, not knowing anything about the information that's been given, spit out like, this is what I think based on all of these. I mean, and we're talking like a questionnaire of like 600 questions. I mean,
yeah, like
this
a Gallup poll. If you've ever interviewed
exactly
for anything on Gallup.
Okay.
So they don't hear my voice. They don't see my face. They don't know anything about me. And yet based on my habits, they can come back and nail like exactly like how I would most likely like who I am, where I probably live, how I vote. It's like that. It's just in light of all the stuff with like, you know, we talked about with the Facebook and everything. It's amazing how these algorithms can really dial you in for good or for evil. I mean, depending on how, you know, I guess it's all in the eyes of the beholder or
well, think of your
hands.
Google searches. I'm sure they could, you know, you've most of us, if you have any kind of computer footprint, think of what you put out there into the world.
Yes. I mean, I look up homemade dildos the other day. I mean, that's me, but hello. I'm sure people are like, all right, this is weird. Because he was just looking up where to find the best burger in Omaha. Now he's.
I think it would be hard to predict your race.
Yes.
And your political affiliation by homemade dildos.
I know.
That would, they would probably throw out that information.
I mean, it's just, they're saying, especially with TV habits, so much has changed. They said, you know, I mean, TV habits, it used to be so cut and dry. Like, especially, you know, politically, like if you're watching The O'Reilly Factor or Fox and Friends or Hannity and Combs, most likely you're a conservative, where if you're watching like Will and Grace in the Academy Awards, most likely you're on the left end of the spectrum. I mean, it was just, it was, some of this stuff is like, well, duh, you know, but it's interesting that a computer, having not, you know, experienced any of this, just can look at these answers and dial in on who you are. What are we going to do?
We'll probably use that in the future to.
I'm sure they use it to sell us stuff. I'm sure they use it to all, you know, all sorts of things. I don't know. I thought it was just interesting that they can figure all this stuff out with about us without even us answering questions about.
So with the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, is that something they're saying, that the great computer is saying that it's something that you watched once or within the last year?
I think they're like, what have you watched within the last year? What do you watch? You know, maybe they asked you like at the holidays what you watch. They didn't break it out. Like, I mean, this was just a comprehensive. I mean, they were talking about it was, you know, whether or not you drank alcohol. Like, they said they didn't, if they didn't own fishing gear or use ranch dressing, but drank alcohol and bought novels, probably a liberal. If someone went to Arby's or Applebee's or used Jif peanut butter, probably a conservative. Like, what? Like, that is so superficial. Like, how can you break that down based on that? Like, how do you know I don't use Jif? I think Jif's amazing.
Yeah, everyone.
And Jif is considered what? Is a liberal peanut butter?
It's a conservative peanut butter. Conservative peanut butter.
They're seeing the real
thing. What's the liberal peanut butter?
I don't know. They didn't break it down.
Ranch?
They didn't tell us what the liberals are spreading on their English muffin, because they're so
probably
fancy.
Nutella.
Right?
Probably
gold.
This is a Big Party Morning Show.
Channel 94.1.
Chris Hardwick, he is coming back to America's Got Talent. He's going to be a guest judge next week. This will be his first TV appearance since his ex-girlfriend accused him of abuse. You know, AMC had sidelined him while they investigated, and he got reinstated as host of The Walking Dead, the after show, The Talking Dead.
Yeah, but they sat him down for a while. Like, he didn't get to host Comic-Con, and it looked bad for him. Mm-hmm. Remember?
He must have claimed the air then.
I know, yeah. But that's kind of the next trend. I mean, you can see Urban Meyer, the coach, just got sat down at Ohio State, and it's because they're claiming he had knowledge of an assistant coach with domestic violence. So this one wasn't even sexual. It was an abusive relationship in the past. But apparently, you know, and then there's the business side where I'm sure they want him back because he was the host of The Talking Dead. He does the Nerdist podcast. He does all this Nerdist stuff.
Yeah.
And he does The Wall. Your favorite show, Party. He's the host of The Wall.
It's going to start production in the fall as planned. He's coming back to that, too. So everything's back and reestated. So Chris Hardwick.
He's one of the rare cases of someone who had to go away and came back. They're letting him back relatively quick.
Yeah, because there wasn't a whole lot on him.
Most people, you have to go sit on the ice floe, and we still don't know how long.
Right.
You will stay in
the corner.
The
rest of them are still ice floed.
Yeah. It's, didn't it? Yeah.
Disney, for its part, Disney doesn't plan to rehire that James Gunn, the director of the Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Right.
You know, the whole cast, including Chris Pratt, had issued like an open letter basically saying, hey, you know, can you reconsider?
We really like him.
We'd like him back.
He just tweeted in the past creepy things.
Right.
Some bad, creepy little boy jokes.
And they were creepy.
And Disney's like, dude, we're Disney.
Yeah.
Right.
I know creepy, and that was creepy.
So I guess
that would have been the legit way to put it.
Yeah.
Look,
I know
Disney.
Creepy.
We're Disney. You don't think we got some freaks in our backfield? So we set up this whole kingdom. We know freaky, and that was too far.
The studio reportedly doesn't plan to rehire him. Now, they have taken their time replacing him, considering pushing back the film's start date. So all of this for Guardians of the Galaxy 3, but they haven't set out official word, but all the whisperings is that nope, James Gunn is really, really gone.
Where does Guardians of the Galaxy's plotline fit in terms of Infinity Wars? Because didn't some
it's
of those people get killed?
It is in there? Okay.
No, it's in there. It's pretty interesting. So they weave it all together. It's kind of, it's interesting watching it through the eyes of an eight-year-old. It's sort of mind-blowing. He's like, they're in this too?
So I'm saying in the next Guardians, will there be characters missing?
Well, that's the thing is it's not affected. It's like a different timeline.
Well, that's what I was asking. So it's not affected. The Guardians of the Galaxy is playing in a different universe than the timeline that was Infinity Wars.
Exactly. So whatever happened, good, bad, indifferent, it won't impact like what's happening in their standalone movies. So whoever got, snapped by Thanos, I don't believe will. I mean, I think they're still part of the
squad. Think about that new way to make movies, though, because that might draw you in.
Mm-hmm.
To go see the movie because you're like, oh, I thought that guy was dead, and then you want to go see him.
Yeah,
well, he's alive in this movie, and they're like, yeah, because this was a different timeline.
It's stupid.
It's so weird. But they also have the time
Han Solo again. What if they brought back Han Solo down the line? And you're like, but I thought he was gone. And they're like, different timeline, bro.
different audience,
different timeline.
Just yanking the chains.
Uh huh. Getting butts in seats. Jennifer Aniston says that she'd love to do a Friends reunion. They keep going back to this. I don't think it's ever going to happen. She says that Matt LeBlanc isn't interested in doing a revival, but maybe we could talk him into it. So that's so interesting.
Because he has a career.
You would think that Jennifer Aniston would be the one holding it up, like, I'm not going back to TV. But she says Courtney Cox and Lisa Kudrow and I talk about it and fantasize about it. And
no,
it was really the greatest job I ever had.
And she's using the term fantasize about it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning she wants it. They should listen to her. Like, does Matt Perry want to do it? Does Lisa Kudrow want to do it?
If
LeBlanc's the only holdback, the fans need to start this campaign.
I wonder if it's because LeBlanc got away from being the dopey actor, the dopey character.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to go back to that now because he's more serious roles or whatever.
I can't believe why any of them would say no to it if the money's right. If the money was right.
Right. And that people, there's such a love and now there's such a surge. I just saw like an 18-year-old the other day with a Friends t-shirt on. I was like, wow, I haven't seen one of those since the 90s.
So Will and Grace, is Will and Grace back for good?
Yes. Will and Grace is back, and now, Jeff, I thought you'd appreciate this. There's talk of an ALF reboot.
Well, I don't want that. Does anybody want that?
No, of course not. But we make fun of it all the time.
If ALF gets to come back, Friends gets to come back.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Friends before ALF.
So they're going to, from what I understand, they're just talks right now. They're just rumors on the ALF thing, but they're going to pick it up from where it left off. Do you remember where it left off?
No.
Which one? Friends or
ALF? ALF. I have no idea where ALF left off.
No one does. It really wasn't a plot line. So, it just ended. How about if we remake Friends, but all the casts are characters from the planet Melnack, where ALF is from?
Okay.
So they're all ALF. Like puppets. It.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Filmed on the set of Friends. So it's the coffee shop with a bunch of elf-looking puppets.
Yeah.
Cats. Talking about relationships, and then ALF runs in the door. Ha, ha, ha.
I mix it all
together. I want a cat sandwich.
They serve it up.
I just don't know what they're doing. They keep rebooting all these things from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
As if
nostalgia.
They're trying to get you to watch TV, bro.
No.
Comfort television. A better time. Warner Brothers, they're working to bring it back. It was on for 4 seasons. I don't think I ever watched a whole episode of ALF.
It was pretty obscure.
This is terrible. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty weird.
No, it wasn't. I mean, that thing was tied into McDonald's and everything. I mean, ALF was huge back then. I mean, you're too busy smoking out in the parking lot. Molly.
Well, don't get all offended now.
I am getting offended.
You didn't even know how the series ended.
Wow.
I'm getting mad.
Can you name one other character other than ALF?
Tanner. The family. The Tanner family. There you go.
What was the dad's name? It's weird that you would get the last name but not the first name.
The first name.
The dad's name was Willie. Remember, was he was always like, Willie, ha ha ha.
That was about
and the
to
dad,
say
Willie,
that.
Was always like, ALF, would you please stop it? He was like this nebbish 80s dad who was just like, come on, ALF, you're from space and you live with my family and you're trying to eat my cat.
Stop it.
The cat thing is awesome. You know?
Bring it back. I think America deserves better.
Come on.
That right. is your celebrity news update on Omaha's number one hit music station, Channel 94.1.
If I'm Chandler.
Bring back Happy Days then.
I'd get that whole cast together and get Matt LeBlanc on board by saying, we're going to do this like Will and Grace. We're going to get, maybe borrow some of their showrunners. We're going to commit to two solid seasons, and then that's it.
And get paid.
Yeah, let's all get paid, but let's commit to that. It's going to be quality television. We're not going to ruin the legacy. We're going to do two solid seasons of Friends.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
I mean, these millennials, everybody, this younger generation's all over Friends.
Because right it worked now. For Arrested Development.
Yeah.
You could sell it as these young guys are coming up. They're watching the prior seasons. Let's give them two final seasons to bookend it. Like what Arrested Development did. I want it. Let's do it. Call their agent.
All right. Somebody wants to do a correction. Hello. What's your name?
Shay.
Shay, what's up? What can we do for you?
I just wanted to correct you because I'm a TV watcher. The name of the family on ALF were the Shumways.
Okay. Well, thank you.
The Tanner family is Full House.
I know. I was just lying. I was trying to get through this. I'm a big fat liar. Thank you. We appreciate that.
But it's a huge show, and it should come back.
Take care.
The Wikipedia page says it was the Tanner family.
That's Tanner's. All right, 938.
The title character is Gordon Shumway. I didn't realize that Elf had a name, Gordon Shumway. No one would know that. Because Elf stood for alien life form.
Okay.
The title character is Gordon Shumway, a friendly extraterrestrial nicknamed Elf, who crash lands in the garage of the suburban middle class Tanner family.
Okay, I got it right.
The series stars Max Wright as the father, Willie Tanner. Elf, would you please not eat my cat?
All right, 938-9400. So, we got news
sorry,
coming
Shay.
Up.
You're
yeah.
wrong.
Thank God, because I thought I was wrong.
This is a Big Party Morning Show.
Come on, man.
Get up and crank it up.
You guys ready for this?
Wake up!
Channel 94.1.